You're listening to DraftKings Network. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome, Dark Side Force users, to another episode of Darth Amin's Rule of Two. I am your Sith Lord, Darth Amin. I'm joined, as always, by my apprentice, Darth Cornpuzzle, a.k.a. Anthony Mays. This is the podcast where we review all things Star Wars as they come out. We're reviewing the final season of The Bad Batch, episodes 12 and 13 this week.
The Juggernaut, bitch!
And Into the Breach. Same note too?
Actually, didn't think of that, but yeah, classic. Oh. Love a juggernaut, bitch.
We are hurtling towards endgame status, ladies and gentlemen. Only two episodes left after this one, after these two that we're going to review here. And the story is definitely ratcheting up. A little bit later, we'll talk about a new Star Wars video game, Star Wars Outlaws, that's coming out. Looks pretty cool. Start with episode 12, Juggernaut. Dark and ominous tones, Maze is Omega's back on Tantus and Hemlock telling her that, hey, turning yourself in, that was the wise decision. That was the right thing to do, kid. You saved a lot of time and energy here. She sees Dr. Carr, asks her not to do this as far as taking her blood sample. And Emery says, you're safe. Omega says, am I? That's a great question. Is she?
Isn't she?
Welcome to Cinephobe. Hunter, meanwhile, is having some recaps position with Crosshair and Wrecker. And everyone's like, we don't know how to get to Tantus. How are we going to get there? I can't believe we missed the homing beacon, tracking beacon, whatever. And Crosshair reveals that there's another way. I might know another way. And everyone's like, dude, you kind of held that close to your vest.
Been holding out on us, Crosshair.
And he admits, like, yeah, I didn't say shit because I didn't want to go back to Tantus.
I don't like it there. That's why my hand's shaking.
By the way, it's a good point. Omega's like, we got to save all the other clones. And Crosshair's like, I don't know those. Well, I got to go back. I'm not going back, but now that she's there, he's like, I know another way, and it's Admiral Rampart from the beginning of the series.
Oh, yes.
Remember Admiral Rampart?
Got to bring him back. We definitely need him. He might have the coordinates, and he's not exactly trustworthy, so yeah. We don't know if he's a viable source of information.
To recap, for the people who don't remember or did not watch, Admiral Rampart was the admiral in charge of the Imperial fleet that basically destroyed Topoka City, which is where the Kamino cloning facilities is. Not only the hometown of all the clones, but the place where the people that made them are from. And so they, in essence, destroyed that thing under Rampart's orders. Obviously, it was an Imperial thing. They didn't want clones anymore. They wanted to destroy the clones, but they kept it a secret. In season two, when it's revealed, the Empire destroyed Topoka City and destroyed the cloning facilities and all the people who were on there, including Imperial personnel and Kaminoans. It was a big uproar in the Senate. And so what the Emperor very shrewdly did is he, what's the term, Maze, from Curb Your Enthusiasm?
He sloughed the blame.
He sloughed the blame. He sloughed the blame onto Rampart and said, acted on his own volition. They court-martialed his ass and sent his ass to prison. This is the Admiral Rampart the guys are talking about.
That's great. I mean, how are we going to get to Admiral Rampart?
Well, they don't have a ship. The Marauder was destroyed. Except, aha, Fee shows up from a secret elevator underneath. And they're like, how'd you get here?
A trap door. Oh, yeah. She docked her ship in the hidden cavern that everybody uses.
that everybody knows about.
What is happening?
At some point, we have to accept that this is not a hidden cavern.
It's not hidden. And there's got to be a traffic jam trying to get to this secret parking spot at some point. Too many people know about it.
They're driving around the lot. And as soon as, I see a spot, like, oh, nope.
It's taken.
It's handicapped. That's where Echo forks.
Oh. Tech told Fee all about Crosshair's sparkly personality.
Yeah.
And so they're headed to an Imperial labor camp on Erebus. And we are doing the prison break from a labor camp, just like in Rogue One,
Just like in Rogue One, and just like in Mandalorian Season 2, and just like in Andor. We've done this a million times, but Star Wars does not get tired of it. I love Star Wars politics. I mixed bag on Star Wars prison break.
Obviously, the Andor one was the best one.
Yes.
Because it was a different kind of prison. But this is almost exactly the same kind as Rogue One. Pop the truck open, get them out.
Yep. And also, these planets tend to look very dirty and muddy and kind of like not a lot of vegetation, et cetera, et cetera. Rampart is a prisoner there, and he has a beard and long hair to show the time has passed.
I also didn't recognize him with the beard.
Really?
It's like when a player gets traded from the Yankees, like Nick Swisher, and all of a sudden he's got a big beard and it's a completely different guy. It can change a man.
I also like that Rampart is in prison alongside like people that he would never, ever, ever associate with, like Ugnaughts and Rodians and shit like that. This is his hell.
Yep.
Because you gotta remember, the Empire looks down on non-humanoids.
Right.
This is like taking a grand wizard from the Ku Klux Klan and putting him in jail with a bunch of black people.
Yeah, it's not a cushy white-collar prison where
nope. You
have your own cell and you get to drink sparkling wine.
Which is funny because they kind of committed to the bit too much, right?
Isn't this classic Emperor, though? He doesn't take care of his officers.
My lord, we've got the plan. We're going to send it all on to Admiral Rampart. He's going to take the blame and we'll put him over at Club Fed. And Emperor's novelty is like, you know what would be funny? Wouldn't it be funny if we send him to real pound me in the ass prison?
Mm-hmm.
He has a hookup that can get them in. They put together a plan. And the south approach to the planet is basically shutting down all the engines
and
free falling.
Tom Petty style. It's pretty cool.
They unload, she dips. As they're approaching, you got like stormtroopers walking and doing their sentry work. And something that's tickled me since the very first time I saw New Hope, the hallmark of stormtroopers is these are regular ass dudes and they're always bored.
So bored.
Quiet as usual. Hopefully the next assignment we'll see some action. They just want to shoot shit, which is one of my favorite scenes from The Mandalorian Season 1, which is Sidakis and
Adam Pally.
Yeah, and they're practicing like what they do if they were actually in a gunfight. Rampart and the Ugnaught are arguing, and then we get them in the prison transport that is reminiscent from Rogue One.
The Bad Batch locate him. They need to intercept him en route from the mine to the prison. They're going to sneak onto the turbo tank from below. They use magnet grappling hooks to climb up on the roof, and they easily infiltrate the bridge. We've got a door that's magnetically sealed. Crosshair asks Wrecker if he remembers Plan 55.
Yep.
Plan 55? Shit up.
It is shit up by basically shooting one blaster bolt, letting the magnetic seal kill everybody in there. Because again, Crosshair is so good at aiming. He can aim ricochets off of ricochets off of ricochets. And then whatever's left, Wrecker takes out with his like bazooka gun or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They blindfold Rampart and get ready to extract him. He says, if you're not here to execute me and you're not letting me go, then you must need something. And he realizes he has bargaining position.
Leverage!
And he says, I'll talk once you get me off this planet.
Crosshair asks about Tantiss and he says, Tantiss. Poisonous. Snakes.
On a plane.
Mateo!
The imps realize that Transport 1 has been compromised, and so they send Transport 2 after it. We get a cool chicken scene here, Maze.
Yep.
Where they're two hurtling at each other. They're shooting gunships to try to take them out. This was actually a really, really well done action scene. You know, usually I'm like, let's just get through it, whatever. Okay, Star Wars fight or whatever. But like, this was actually pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, they got the ballistic missiles. I always love the shot of ballistic missiles all spreading out. crazy firefight. Hunter tells Wrecker to take out the wheels. That works. They vault off the other tank, catch some air. Rampart tries to grab a blaster after the tank lands, and Crosshair shoots it out of his hands and stuns him.
Troopers are landing on it. They're trying to shake him. Shit's getting bad, but here comes Fee to save the day. Blast them off.
This is another Star Wars staple, right? I mean, this is Millennium Falcon showing up on the trench run.
Woohoo!
Oh, we're about to go off the skinny road on the side of the cliff, and at the last second, oh, there's a ship to the rescue that we thought was gone.
And then there was one more thing where it's like Wrecker's the last guy who's got to go. He throws Rampart's lifeless body onto the ship, and then he's got to jump up there, and he makes the jump, and I'm like, is this dude afraid of heights? Shouldn't they have played that up a bit? Because they didn't play it up, I thought, oh, for sure he's going to die here. That's what it felt like.
It's one of those things that it's such a trope that you always expect them to make it at the last second, except when Tech died.
Exactly. And so I thought, you know how Rogue One, we went into Rogue One and I didn't know anything. I literally walked into the red carpet premiere and I said, they're all going to die. They have to die. There's no way you can have these people running around living happily ever after. And sure enough, they died. But like, it's the way they do it one by one. It wasn't until like Chirrut dies where I'm like, oh, they're killing them all. They're killing them all off now. And the last two are going to be Andor and Jyn Erso. So because they didn't play up the whole he's afraid of heights thing, I was like, oh, this is how they do it. They catch us off guard. But nope.
Spoiler alert. Everybody's still alive after episode 13 as well.
They finally wake this dude up. He's like, no one knows the coordinates to Tantus. But I might know a workaround. And it's like, okay, we're going to do this shit again. No one actually knows, but I know a guy who knows a guy.
It's the same thing that Fennec did.
Yep.
It's how it goes. You string people along.
Tantus is basically the club.
Yeah.
Do we know anyone at the door? Like, not exactly, but I know someone who works in the back. Crosshair says, if you don't tell us, we'll send you back to prison, which is strong leverage in return on him.
Now, no need for threats. After all, we're in this together. Back on Tantus, Omega's blood is processed. It glows gold or yellow again. Favorable M-count replication. Omega asks what that means. Hemlock's going to show her. An individual's M-count cannot be directly replicated. Each experiment, the level's degraded. Now he's taking her to the vault. Nothing worked until they combined her sample with an M-count specimen. You are a vital piece to our work here, Omega. And then he puts her in the vault with the rest of the puzzle, aka the Force-sensitive children.
This is your new home. By the way, this is all walk and talk exposition. That term comes to you courtesy of Cinephobe. Check it out wherever you get podcasts. We have many terms like that to describe these tropes when characters are walking down a hallway and just expositioning. The walk is just so that the exposition does not occur for them sitting and talking to each other. So it's walk and talk exposition. End episode, roll credits, go to episode 13, Into the Breach.
The playoffs have started in basketball and hockey, and there's really only one way that I can enjoy it. For me, drinking Miller Lite while the action is going on makes the game that much more exciting and that much more delicious. A lot has changed over the years, but one thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. So what do you look for in a light beer? Great taste or less filling? For me, it's great taste and less filling. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, and only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate, C-R-A-T-E. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Start off on Tantus, dark and ominous tones. Omega's in her cell.
I will admit that I do think the design of Tantus is very cool, and I am enjoying all these shots of it at different, you know, in the last episode it was raining, and this episode we got birds chirping, and it's a little bit of sunshine this time, but yes, dark and ominous tones.
She comes out to the common area, sees the scientists, she sees droids, they're observing from a deck above over the common area. She introduces herself to the Force-sensitive child, Eva. She sees the little toys. She says, oh, where'd you get that from? Which is exactly, Levitard Show listeners will know this reference. This is exactly how the president of Mountain Dew talked to Tony as he's holding the Mountain Dew ball that I urged him to take from the Mountain Dew party, because when are we ever going to see any of these people again? We ended up seeing the president of Mountain Dew. Tony didn't realize it was him. The president of Mountain Dew says, oh, that's a cool basketball. Where'd you get that from? And Tony says, this thing. And he proceeds to spin it on his finger like a fucking globetrotter. It is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Eva says, Dr. Carr gave it to me. She's the only nice one.
We also got Jax, the green boy, Sammy, the blue girl, and the cat-like white baby creature, Bairn.
Yep, little intros position.
They don't like when the kids talk to each other, and Sammy tells Omega she'll get used to it.
Omega starts casing this joint hard, asking, are they always watching? Yes, and the droids too. She's starting to figure this whole shit out. Meanwhile, Rampart is bitching. He's bitching about this. He's bitching about that. Hunter tells him, you get your freedom when they find Tantus. Echo shows up in the shuttle that he stole. And I won't lie, I didn't look this up. But Maze, do you remember in Rebels when Ahsoka first reunites with Rex? And they're in like this big walking jalopy. It looked a lot like this shuttle, which is a row-class shuttle, but with legs on it. So I don't know. I'm interested to see if this shuttle continues or if I'm just mixing things up.
Yeah, I mean, this definitely seems like a burner that they're using just for this mission. But that would be interesting if they hold on to it. Could it just be that it's a similar model?
Similar model, could be. That was the first thing I thought of. I was like, oh, that looks like Rex's thing.
Mm-hmm.
Rampart says they got to go to the space station that's hovering above Coruscant. That's where they get the coordinates from, but it's on a direct download to the nav computer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not anything you can intercept or anything like that. So you have to go to this thing. So they come up with a plan that they're going to have Rampart impersonate an officer, and then they'll accompany him as a security detail. And I'm looking at these freaks. You know, one dude is 7 feet tall. You got another dude doesn't have a hand.
Mm-hmm.
He's got like a scomp link for a hand. And I'm like, this isn't going to work. And I guess Rampart feels the same way. They hand him the uniform and he looks at it and he says, I can't wear this. It's a captain's uniform. And everybody just stares at him.
Deadpan.
And he says, I'm vice admiral.
Well, you've been demoted. Boom! Roasted his ass, Amin!
TGT from Echo.
I hate clones.
I hate clones, yeah. That's a nice little Saturday morning cartoon quip there at the end by Rampart. Maze, was this Cobra formula, even though he didn't get an actual question back, he got a blank stare back?
Yeah, it's kind of double Cobra formula.
He says, I can't wear this, the captain's uniform. He's waiting for them to say, why can't you wear a captain's uniform?
He's baiting them. He's setting them up.
Yes.
They refuse to participate. But then also, I was a vice admiral. Well, you've been demoted. Ugh, I hate clones. That's also Cobra formula. It's definitely all together. You got yourself a stew going. There's some Cobra formula action happening here.
Cut to Tantus, Omega, and Dr. Carr together. She's doing some sort of test. Omega steals something. Did not see what it was, Maze. What'd she steal that she put up her sleeve?
A stylus for the tablet, essentially.
Seems like something that Dr. Carr would notice immediately.
Seems like it. I mean, she's a little preoccupied. Also, we've got the droid coming out of the wall to do the centrifuge. So I think it's a little unnecessary. Seems like you could just take the sample and bring it to the lab. But no, we got to have in cell pneumatic tube systems. I wonder why we need that.
In cell? It doesn't fuck anybody, huh? Not by choice, though. The other part of it is I thought about is, do you think Imperial facilities have like a drawer full of spare styluses because people keep losing them?
For sure. This place is well-funded. Tantus has stylus budget for days.
We know it's well-funded, as evidenced by the conversation between Tarkin and Hemlock a few episodes back. All right. Dr. Scalder, who, by the way, is hot.
Mm.
Let me just say this right now.
Wow.
Dr. Scalder disagrees with Carr about her methods, about letting Omega mingle with the other kids. I didn't really pay attention. I was like, who is this? Tell me more.
Gotta have another lady scientist for Emery to pull rank on, because she's the chief scientist. Don't tell me how to live my life.
And I said, shut up, Emery. Tell me more, Dr. Skalder. I might have a little bit of a fever.
Oh.
I really warmed up to Dr. Skalder here.
You're scalding hot for Skalder, huh?
Omega starts asking about procedures and protocols, tells the kids that she's escaped before, she's going to do it again. And guess what?
You're coming with me.
She starts making a plan with the toys.
This is so pointless.
I mean, it's not pointless if you've seen Escape Plan with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone, which does not qualify for Cinephobe. But man, I cannot urge you enough, Maze. Have you watched Escape Plan?
No.
You have to. It was on Tubi last time I watched. The best Juan Marrakesh. It's such a fun movie, dude. It's so fun you'll be angry that it doesn't qualify because we would have had a ball with this one. But it's very similar. Like, she's doing the Stallone role where she's sitting here and grabbing random things and showing everybody how we're going to break out of prison.
Sure. All she does is make a circle with these blocks. I mean, it's not complex layout.
Oh, you mean the circular room that we're in right now?
We're in a circle. We get it. We had the overhead shot of how Tantus is a circle, and then there's a circle inside the circle in the circle. We get it.
But also, the kids kind of can look up and say, oh, you mean this room right here? Okay.
Yes. She says there's tubes that the droids use to take their samples. That's why they're there. She shows off that she has the stylus.
Yep.
Maybe don't tell them that. I don't know.
She's trusting the kids to keep their mouth shut. I'm going to tell you right now, as someone who has children, whenever you tell them, keep a secret. Don't mention this. The best you'll get is the old, I'm certainly not going to mention anything that might, they cannot keep a secret to save their lives.
The Bad Batch are stripping down their armor of markings, but it's still completely different armor than anyone has in the whole galaxy.
They are the most conspicuous looking ass group of clones ever. I thought they were going to get some old clone armor that they had in tow and leave Wrecker on board.
Yeah.
Nope. Everybody knows who the Clone Force 99 is, by the way. It's not like because of the tattoos they got on their goddamn armor. You got a guy with a scump link for a hand. Make him wear a glove or something. Put his hands in his pocket, something.
Nah, not necessary.
Rampart's worried. He says, you guys are going to stand out like overheated Gamorreans, which is a great line. Gamorreans are, of course, those weird lizard
green pig guards from Jabba's palace that get snatched up by the Rancor. He also says, I didn't just make it to Vice Admiral on looks alone.
Brushes some dirt off his shoulders. Yeah.
I'm not just a piece of meat working for the Emperor. I also have a brain. People often forget that.
Hunter reminds him that the Empire screwed him over and we're the ones that broke you out, so don't let your allegiances get screwed over here.
Yeah, right. Like, that's going to stop him from betraying you at some point.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. They step off the shuttle and instantly the dude is like, what the hell is this?
This nerd. This lieutenant nerd.
You're not on my schedule. Your uniforms, they aren't regulation.
Rampart walks out, pulls rank on him and asks him, take it up with Tarkin if you got a problem, which is expert name dropping by Rampart, the kind you only get to do if you've been a vice admiral.
Rampart dismisses two troopers standing guard. He's citing Imperial code. He tells them to go back to the barracks.
There are a lot of little touches that I enjoy. So, for instance, a battalion of stormtroopers walking by and they're led by a single clone commando, indicating they're being thinned out, but there are still a couple. There's management roles, right? Now, this might be my favorite part of the episode. They open the door. There's a tech guy with the big doofy helmet like they had on the Death Star. I'm going to need to run your code, Captain, because you guys are not on the manifest or whatever. One of the Bad Batchers pulls out his gun and just shoots the dude. And when he does, I urge everybody to go back and watch this. This is amazing animation. Rampart's like, what the fuck did you just do? But he doesn't say anything. It's all his face and his hand gesture. Very funny. Very nice detail. Meanwhile, Wrecker gets accosted by the lieutenant who comes up asking more questions. He says, oh yeah, sure, let me show you something. And then he knocks him out, which again is very New Hope-ish, right?
Yeah, this whole sequence is, except New Hope, they had the decency to disguise themselves in stormtrooper armor.
These are all homages, obviously, to A New Hope.
Rampart's hassling Echo for taking too long. There's a vessel headed to Tantus, but they can't get the coordinates till after it launches.
So the only way to do it is to stow away on the ship. And Rampart says, we're all going to die, basically. Because this part of the plan is insane. Science missions are among the most heavily guarded. especially ones going to Tantus. There's no way we're going to get caught. They're going to kill us all.
So I got confused here. I don't know if this happened to you. I thought Hunter was saying that he was the one who had to get on board, but it ended up being Echo.
No, I knew it had to be Echo because they need the Scomp Link.
Okay.
I thought at first they all were going to sneak on board, and I said, that's pretty ambitious.
I thought it was Hunter because he's the sneaky one.
He is the sneaky one.
But Echo's going solo. They'll follow behind, hitch a ride to Tantus. Rampart starts to protest.
Their plan is for him to go on board, turn off the proximity sensor, have their ship glom on to the side of this shuttle without anyone noticing. It's batshit crazy. Cut back to Omega trying to do her plan. I thought there was supposed to be a distraction.
No.
They did absolutely nothing.
The hottie, Dr. Scalder, sees her and gets a little suspicious.
Still my heart.
So Omega pries a tile loose, and then a bunch of them fall down, clatter to the ground.
Loud as shit, yeah.
She does see that there is a elevator shaft or some shit, I don't know, some open space behind the wall. But when Scalder comes into her cell, Omega's chilling.
Yep.
Posing. Oh, hey, oh.
Didn't see you there. She came down like my man Tug Speedman reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
Down the stairs, like, didn't see you come in there.
Oh.
Just catching up on some reading.
Didn't see that.
And Dr. Scalder's fine ass walks out like, oh, my God.
Then she tells the other kids, found our way out. We got this.
This isn't quite Cobra Formula, but it's Cobra Formula-esque. Did it work? Uh-huh. What did you find? Our way out. She definitely stopped and waited for them to ask the question so that she can hit them with a Cobra Formula.
Cut to the space station. We're in the science vehicle docking bay. We got Echo sneaking around. He bumps into some R2 units.
Astromechs.
And then he sees them get sucked up.
Someone got sucked onto the ship.
Using that fantastic little Hoover vacuum extension that all ships have to get the droids loaded on. So he's hopping on a cargo pallet, and then he's hiding behind boxes, and the troopers standing guard don't notice, and he manages to get sucked up into the tube before anybody notices.
Sure does.
The Bad Batchers are trying to follow on their shuttle. They dump the nerd lieutenant out.
The Wrecker just drops his limp-ass body. It says, about time. I like the idea of him just being annoyed with them for a change, as opposed to everyone being annoyed with him.
And now Echo's hacking. It sets off an alert. He has to take out a trooper that comes to check on him. He fakes the voice and gives the all clear.
Now Hunter is hanging back in the shuttle, and Maze, I don't know if you noticed this, but the shadows and the light coming across their faces as they're like following but not getting too close, as they're out suspicions again. Amazing artwork, amazing animation on this show. This is truly the peak of Star Wars animation if you compare it to where they were at the beginning of the Clone Wars.
Rampart's naysaying, this gotta go, we can't do this, coming down to the wire. And Hunter does the quarterback move of throwing to the open space before the guy is open. He flies under the science vessel, he flips around at the very last second. The proximity sensors are deactivated, they latch on, and everybody jumps into hyperspace together.
I gotta drop this one line because Rampart is panicking and he says, abort mission, like he finally just says it like an order. And rather than everyone telling him to shut the hell up, Hunter very coolly, without making eye contact, just says, negative. And that, Maze, that's TGT right there.
Yeah.
That is tough guy talk from our guy Hunter.
So we did it. We're headed to Tantus. I mean, they figured it out.
They still don't know where it is, which again leads me to believe that Project Necromancer will continue. I've thought about it. They might get Omega out. They might do the prison break. But the important thing is they have her blood samples. They've got enough at least to continue to work on this.
Yeah, I wonder how often they need it. If they're basically taking samples every day, that would require her to be kept around. But who knows? I do think there will be clearly a prison break combined with a rescue mission in the next two episodes.
Combined with a double cross, right? Like Rampart will f*** them over.
Rampart is inevitably going to cause trouble, try to ingratiate himself back into the Empire's good graces, and turn his prison sentence into an opportunity.
An opportunity to get his own ship back called Live Forever?
Yeah, his Star Destroyer named Live Forever.
He will double cross them. There's no chance this will end up positively for him.
You don't think he's going to show up in A New Hope?
Yeah.
We're not going to remember the name Rampart forever?
This is the best part. He actually gets his own Star Destroyer, and then Vader force chokes him for, like, missing an exit on the hyperspace lane. That's it for Bad Bats. The other news we've got, the trailer a couple weeks ago, Maze, for the new video game coming out later this year. It gets available for pre-order. Star Wars Outlaws, and it is the first true open world Star Wars game, and it is set in the age of the Empire and the age of the crime families. The Pikes are in it, the Hutts are in it, Crimson Dawn, everybody's in it, including a couple of new ones. And you get to play this character who is a real piece of shit. Are you a video game guy? I ask you this every time.
I haven't played video games in a while. I enjoyed the Fallout TV show that just came out.
Oh, yeah.
They released all the episodes because that was one of the last games that I was really hooked on, which is Fallout New Vegas.
Walton Goggins, right?
Walton Goggins is a noseless ghoul. And that's a similar thing where it's open world and you can roam around the wasteland collecting things. So I do like this type of game. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like they've tried to do a Star Wars open world game for a while and haven't quite figured it out.
Yes. For a long time, there's been a lot of rumors about a Star Wars open world game. Different iterations have been unsuccessful. So this is a moment of great excitement for Star Wars gamers. I'm like more Star Wars than I am gamer. I like story mode games more. I just like, you know, falling into the character or whatever. So Jedi Fallen Order, Jedi Survivor, even Battlefront 2, which is people think of as kind of like a, what do they call them? Group gaming. I can't remember what the term is.
MMORPG.
Yes.
Massively multiplayer online role playing game.
And it does have that, but it also has a story mode to it. So that's what I enjoyed and I played. And again, the story modes on all these Star Wars games are canon. They like whatever happens. So when Bill Burr's character in Mandalorian talks about Operation Cinder, like that's real. And that came from Battlefront because Battlefront starts with your first mission on Battlefront is on Endor. And then at the end of the mission, the cutscene is everyone looks up and the Death Star explodes and everyone's like, oh shit. And, you know, in Return of the Jedi, you kind of feel like, oh, you know, and that's it. And then the Empire fell. But Battlefront 2 really takes you to like, no, there was a whole like contingency plan and you kind of play the game from the perspective of one of these Imperial officers trying to execute Operation Cinder. So all that to say, really excited for that game when it comes out. I still got to finish Jedi Survivor, of course. We'll probably do that in the off season.
I do love the concept of a Star Wars Grand Theft Auto where you can rack up some star felonies and get the stormtroopers chasing you or the X-Wing police, whatever it may be.
That, I think, is the coolest part is that, like, every Star Wars game has been be a Jedi, be the Empire, be a part of this bureaucracy, right? And now it's like, no, we get to be real pieces of shit. And you know who I'm holding out hope to see, man? Haven't seen him in Mandalorian. Haven't seen him Book of Boba Fett. Haven't seen him in Ahsoka. Haven't seen him in Bad Batch. My guy Hondo Ohnaka, man.
Oh!
That old pirate's gotta make an appearance somewhere, man.
That's crazy. That's the one you want. That's the Great White Buffalo, huh?
Well, that's one of my favorite, all-time favorite Star Wars characters. I think I did this ranking a long time ago. I think it goes 1, Vader, 2, Maul, 3, Sal Guerrera, and 4 is like Hondo Ohnaka. I love Hondo.
No pure good guys in your power rankings. That's weird, I mean. It's almost like we have a podcast about Sith Lords.
Well, it is what it is. But I think who my next favorite would be.
I mean, Han Solo is not cracking your top 5?
Han's cool. He's funny, but not. I would definitely put Ahsoka over Han. I would put Grief Karga, RIP my guy.
What does Cassian have to do in Andor season 2 to climb up into those power rankings for you? Is he close?
He's very close, absolutely. So is Luthen.
That's true. Luthen is probably the true gem of that show.
Here's what I need from Cassian, to be honest with you. Regardless of whether it's to climb my rankings or not. In Rogue One, there's a scene where he tells Jin, We've all done terrible things. Like, you're not the only one who's lost people. You're not the only one who's been a real piece of shit in order to see this thing through. And yeah, we saw him shoot that guy in the beginning.
That didn't even feel earned because it was a cold open, essentially.
Yeah. I need to see him. Is it Bix is his girl?
Yep.
Who's another smoke show. Good Lord. I need to see him have Bix die because he crossed her over.
So you want him to hurt the people he loves and that,
yes.
That'll earn him some credibility with you.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Got it.
Anyways, that'll do it for this week's episode. Next week, episode 14. And then we're back for Tales of the Empire.
And then we're back.
May 4th. So until next time, I remind everybody that when someone tries to make you abort the mission, you just say, negative.
Playoffs have started in basketball and hockey, and there's really only one way that I can enjoy it. For me, drinking Miller Lite while the action is going on makes the game that much more exciting and that much more delicious. A lot has changed over the years, but one thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. So what do you look for in a light beer? Great taste or less filling? For me, it's great taste and less filling. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality, great taste, and only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. A light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/crate, C-R-A-T-E. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.